there, Tallahassee. Welcome to another edition of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Revel, along with my lovely co-pilot here, Sarah Solomon. Sarah, how are we doing today?
It's another great day for a podcast, don't you think?
It most certainly is, and hope all of you out there listening are having a wonderful day somewhere here in our wonderful community. We have got an excellent show for you today. A real great local person who we're going to talk a lot about local in this, but that's having an impact on really on how our country continues to evolve. I would say this organization is one that hopefully you have heard of and have hopefully attended an event or a program that they've put on. If you haven't, we're going to give you lots of information on that. So hopefully you will jump in right into the deep end. We have our good friend Liz Joyner with us today. She is the founder and CEO of The Village Square here in Tallahassee. Liz, welcome to the show.
It is great to be with you guys today.
Well, we are
thrilled. It is a good day for a podcast.
It is. It absolutely is. There's a little hint of a fall breeze on there. It's a tiny hint.
I think that may be wishful thinking, Jay.
We're very wishful this time of year.
It didn't feel quite as much like an oven outside today.
It was more like a warming rack.
Right.
You know? So we're gaining on it. That's right. Hot plate. That's a good slogan maybe for the branding for the community. Hot plate. Liz, we really are thrilled to have you here. Exciting time of year for you all. Know that the Village Square is getting ready to sort of launch a new season. We'll jump into that a little bit. But why don't we lead off with just tell a little bit about your story. We always like to hear people's quote-unquote Tallahassee stories. Everyone is unique and different. So what's yours, and how did you get into this role of founding and running such a unique organization?
So I'm a D.C. native, so I grew up in a very interesting place and around, you know, the center of power. My friends' parents were in government, et cetera. And so I think in some ways that was sort of the beginning of this because I was used to that kind of dynamic conversation between people who disagreed and who were involved. And but that back then it was different.
So
the way I came to Tallahassee is my husband and I both found graduate schools that we wanted to attend here. And really, this is true. We had decided that this was going to be our first stop on a world tour of sorts, where we were going to go to graduate school, spend a little time here, and then we were going to go to a new place and just sort of, you know, be vagabonds as a young married couple. Well, you see how far we got. We stayed here. It was always a wonderful place to be and livable, and it's gotten better and better over the years. So that has been lots of decades since that happened. So I'm not a native, but I'm getting close.
Yeah, well, Tallahassee has a funny way of setting hooks in people. We've heard many, many stories like that. So what did you study, by the way?
I got a master's degree in social work, and my husband's was in oceanography.
Oh, perfect. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. It makes for an interesting mix at the dinner table, right?
Yeah. And actually, my early focus was in family therapy, which is kind of interesting because this is a little bit...
You kind of do that now.
It kind of do it on a little bit of a different scale, but we kind of have some family issues going on right now.
I'm sure you have a lot of interesting takes on some of the conversations you overhear from your background in that.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what Village Square is, kind of how it came about? Take us back to the very beginning and kind of explain the history behind Village Square to us.
So our mission is to build bridges across the partisan divide and, frankly, to have dynamic, wonderful, engaging, real conversations because, you know, our theory is that that's what democracy ought to be. Our history is a very Tallahassee story because it was really during the coal plant debate that it started to sort of occur to some of us that sort of our town square, sort of the place where we have conversations with citizens who we disagree with on issues, it just didn't feel like there was a place. You could either go testify to one of the commissions for a few minutes or you could write an op-ed. But where were the dynamic conversations going on? And I had the opportunity at the time. I was helping, for the first time ever and the last time, helping run a political campaign, and I got to see some of the local leaders who were having the kind of vibrant, deep discussions about the coal plant that I felt like we ought to have been having. And they disagreed vehemently, but they'd have rollicking conversations, and real ideas came out of that. Sort of the clashing of opinion that forms solutions and ideas, and at the very least makes it so we can, so we can self-govern. Right? If we had a king, then they make all the decisions. If we're going to self-govern, we've got to engage with people who disagree with us. So I saw them as being just an incredible model of the kind of conversation that should happen. So I started musing with it was Alan Katz, Brian DeLoge, Bill Law were some of the first people who were involved, and they do have rollicking conversations. and started musing with them about the ideas. What if we intentionally start growing this conversation out bigger? Are there people that you know who disagree with you, actually even specifically on the coal plant? But you have these great conversations, and so that we built our board from there. We then invited a group of founders, 75 people, who, again, it was very crisscrossy. Lots of people, we asked people, you know, hey, who is it that you know that you have these deep conversations with? And the Village Square was born, and we had the, crazy idea of having dinner and breaking bread around these disagreements. I do have to admit that I remember the very first program that we had. We did the first year of programs on America's energy future, and the first program was on nuclear. And I remember having this thought. We had 150 people in the room, and I thought, what have we done? Boy, are we in trouble.
You pulled the rip.
but it went beautifully well, and part of the reason for that is I think that we had accidentally, unintentionally discovered a really important lesson, and it's not just a lesson, it's actually kind of, it's scientifically based, but we weren't thinking that right then, we just stumbled into it, is that direct contact with people you disagree with, just having a relationship, really is transformational. In some ways, we were at the very beginning of an insight about how we were changing the way that we were relating to each other in civic spaces, right? So that was kind of the beginning of moving on to social media, and now we've got, 14,000 media choices instead of just 3, and we can find the people that we agree with completely and just listen to them. So we were kind of at the beginning of that, and one of the things that, our most enduring lesson through all of this is people are really hard to hate close up, no matter what. Your disagreements are on politics. And so this is like, to me, this is the inside of our time that we have to be with each other as neighbors in communities, in strong communities. And when you do that, from that very first dinner to now we're launching our 13th season, it really does. It changes everything. It's changed me over the years.
Well, I think anytime you can humanize an argument, a mm-hmm. debate, to your point, it's going to bring it all back, to a better perspective. And, if we could go back in time, right, we go find Zuckerberg on the campus of Harvard somewhere and say, we got to work on these ground rules.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to make sure this works out.
Oh, right. I heard they might get rid of the like button. I would really like that.
Yeah, double like, yeah. I need to get rid of a lot of things. But, it really is. We've reached this time where the problems of uncivil discourse are exacerbating, I'm going to say, pretty rapidly, right? I mean, it's getting worse.
Warp speed right now.
We're headed for a civic cliff. And organizations like the Village Square are definitely a huge part of how we can combat that. So much so that you all have gotten various national attention, articles, going on radio shows nationally. I mean, being highlighted by various important groups. Tell us a little bit about some of that national attention and sort of where you see the Village Square fitting into that broader conversation.
Yeah, it's been actually a really interesting ride because we were just, we're obviously very hyper-local. We're all about this community and who we are to each other. And I think that we may have put our finger in some ways through the coal plant debate, we put our finger on something kind of early and we started doing something about it. So as a result, increasingly as, our whole country full of people have started to go, uh-oh, we've got a problem here. People have started to populate the same space, which is, what do you do about this problem? How do you really tackle it? And I think it's really tempting to try to tackle it through kind of wonky policy debates. Let's figure out, what is our compromise on that? And while that is certainly a part of what probably we should see Congress doing a little bit more of, ultimately there is, the civic fabric of a community, the social capital, the relationships, the trust, the reciprocity that exists inside of community, those are in fact, that's the science behind what you do to depolarize people. So in some ways, we kind of had that insight early, and so people have come to us I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of annual conferences of state elected officials in a number of states. We've been at Harvard Law speaking. We've been on a number of national podcasts. And it's really like everybody asking that same question how do you tackle this? One of the things that we think is really interesting is this is actually, if you look in the right place, in a community, this is a bottom up, American democracy is a bottom up affair, right? It always has been. Tocqueville came to America and talked about, how we were always gathering with each other. That's where we go to the town hall and we work out our differences. And it may get a little rough from time to time, but that's kind of the center of gravity of American democracy, and we've flipped it. And, you said, Jay, we basically have made it so all politics are now
national
yeah. instead of local. And so we've actually seen over this 13 years we've been doing this work, increasingly communities are divided by national politics
right.
in ways that are completely irrelevant right. to what the challenges are in the community.
We see candidates. Political science junkie, right? I mean, we were talking about grad school earlier and stuff, but I look at candidate races that are happening at local levels across the country, and they're being debated over issues that have nothing.
Nothing.
To do
are you on our side or are their side? Are you with us or against
right.
us?
It's a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. If you're there, I'm here, and there's no in between, and that is a very, very dangerous thing.
It is very dangerous. And in fact, it's really a symptom of the fact that I think we've forgotten our own inspiring American idea,
mm-hmm.
Which is that a diverse people can self-govern and that we do it by engaging with the people that we disagree with. And, that's what the framers, created is a place where we can have those clashing opinions. And that is that, that big idea has served as a light in the world for centuries now. And it's like we've forgotten that that's what it is. So instead of being in our little digital silos, we ought to be stepping out every day and going, let's go engage with somebody. Not every day. Let's go once a week. It's part of the fabric of who we are as a country and how we have built what we've built. And again, it's bottom up. This is about communities being neighbors with each other.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about your programs. How do you, in this day and age, reach people who are in silos to encourage them to attend an event? Or once they're at an event, are they still, set in their ways? How do you kind of encourage people to see a different side of the world?
So that is a great question, Sarah. And in fact, interestingly, I would say that by far the biggest challenge that we have as an organization is to continue to reach out to people who are in different silos. So if we succeed in our job of getting an ideologically, racially, ethnically, religiously diverse group of people in the room, it's actually amazingly easy to because again, people are hard to hate close up.
Mm-hmm.
In human nature, we have this sort of natural tendency towards tribalism, but we also have this amazing capacity for decency with people that we break bread with. We look at eye to eye. And also kind of a reciprocity, like, if you do me a small kindness, then we humans are really pretty amazing about doing small kindnesses back. Yeah. And it's so there's some really it's sort of by being in a room. This is unfortunately, while I think that there are ways that technology can help with this, this is a brick and mortar, human to human, tangible operation, and in some ways that's why it's all messed up, right? It's not that it's easy to sort of think, well, we don't spend time with each other because we don't like each other, but really we don't like each other because we don't spend time
that's
with
right.
each other,
and exactly
we've
right.
accidentally sort of drifted into these digital silos. So reversing the trend is the most powerful part of it.
Yeah, I think that. We live in an age, unfortunately, maybe there'll be a big pushback, we'll see. But we live in this age where, and you guys do a tremendous job of this, you have to make the opportunity to gather a really attractive thing to get people off the phone, back in the building.
Absolutely.
And y'all do a good job of that. And, we've got some flyers here, folks, on the table from the season ahead, and I'm just looking at it. And part of it is, you have this sort of, you have provocative titles. You serve serve good food. You make interesting programs, and that cultivates an environment for people to come want to be together again. And that's really a tremendous foundation.
I think that's right. It's funny because I think one of the things that's happened accidentally while we weren't paying attention is we made it so easy to group up with the groups of people who have a particular, opinion or you want to be a club. It helped us be kind of clubby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the Robert Putnam, the sociologist who turned the coin social capital, mm-hmm. talks about bonding social capital. That's how society is built, right?
Sure.
But bridging social capital is another part, and that's what we're not doing.
Yep.
So we find ourselves in these silos and we sort of accidentally just forget to do the part of the bridging part. Right.
That's right.
And I think one of the mistakes that's really easy to make, especially in this time of we're so entertained. It is so easy to just punch a little button, and it's incredibly entertaining. So we have to, if you're going to do civics well, if you're going to want people to bridge instead of, just bond, then you're going to have to give them a good reason. It can't, when I do my presentations, one of my slides is eat your broccoli, civics is dead. I think there are a lot of people who really care about the civic space, who want it to not be dead. But unfortunately, we have to compete with really entertaining options.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the good news about that is I think if you start to pull people out, I think there is a deep yearning and hunger for this. And if people, experience it, then they want to come back. Because we're feeling disconnected.
I sense a merchandise opportunity. Make civics great again, blue hat or whatever. But.
Yes, actually, we are always working on that. We're actually doing, so our season this year is the year of living locally, because we decided we were just going to double down. This is a lesson of our history. So we're going to roll out some, I'm branding here, we're going to roll out some t-shirts related to our theme of localism.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming programs. I know you said you have roughly 20 to 25 in a season, and we're right on the edge of that. Tell us a little bit more about what's coming.
So we launch all of our, we have several series. We have the Dinner at the Square series, and the first one of the year is October 1st, and the title is Local Patriotism, Again, the idea that we can save America by loving our community, and we really believe that. So we're going to talk about it. And actually, all year we're going to honor local patriots. So you can go to our website and you can nominate people who are committed to investing in this community. And making it an incredible place to be. And we thought local patriotism sort of captured that idea. So we'll kick that off on October 1st. On September 19th, we will launch the third year. So that's the 13th year of Dinner at the Square. We'll launch the third year of a program we have called Local Color. Mm-hmm. And it's about gathering across race and ideology to have real conversations about some of the most important things that are dividing us. That's really geared towards a millennial and younger audience. We meet at the Junction. And on the 19th, the title of our program is How to Have an Intentional, Crazy, Real Conversation on Race, really. So we're going to be working on that. And then we launch our God Squad season, and this is our 10th year of God Squad, on Friday, September 20th, and the topic is This Place, These People, Living Your Civics Close to Home.
Of all the things that you've kind of accomplished with your time with Village Square, what's something that you're proud of?
It's interesting. In some ways, I would say that maybe what I'm most proud of, I think that it's been a transformational experience for me. And I almost think that for anyone who really engages, and we've got, just amazing people who've really walked this walk with us for years, I think it's a personally transformational journey. Because all of us sort of have things we think and believe, and it's really moved me outside of my box and given me insights that I would have never had I not, stretched and gotten to know the people that we have. And I think I'm also really proud of the fact that we, here in Tallahassee, we're becoming a national model for how you do this. And, it's kind of interesting because we have a 2 degree of separation hometown, right? Yeah. It's how we roll.
It is.
And so now you've got
there's
this
your other t-shirt.
thank you. This is the nature of this community. And now you've got a whole country, actually not just country, you have a whole world full of people who are looking for, I think, what comes naturally to us. And so we're really looking to become a model for other communities, and this is actually hot off the press. We had something happen last year that got us really thinking about this. We actually had someone, a civic leader from Australia, surprise us, literally. Wow. She just walked into an event and said, I'd heard about you. I really wanted to see what you did. So that got us thinking, and we'll be launching I don't know, maybe your listeners can help us, or you guys can help us brand it, but right now we're calling it the Flying Pig Academy, and it'll be early May, and people will be able to come to town and experience two events in 2 days that are really different, and then we're going to, help teach them what it is we do and really sort of grab on to that idea that Tallahassee is here's another one you can test this one out is we've been talking about how it's kind of the capital of capital, like social capital, human capital.
Folks, we are printing t-shirts by the minute over here. Things are getting out of control.
But isn't that kind of it doesn't that capture who our community?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the when I first moved here from up north and having lived in a big city, it's just like I learned you couldn't go to the grocery store with sweatpants on and your hair all because you'd always see you'd see the mayor there.
Yeah, right.
But that is one of the incredible things about this place.
Yes,
and I think it's an exportable lesson and model.
No, I think you're right. And in our last episode, folks, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen. We had Ime Hutt from Golden Light, and she gave this really great talk about exponential thinking and you know, we were talking about the things that Tallahassee can be sort of a competitive advantage from an economic standpoint, where you can really export certain knowledges, certain expertise. And we were talking about things like, you know, don't just go after technology, go after government-related technology. It makes a lot of sense. So
be who you are.
Right, absolutely. Right. And be it to the best possible level. Mm-hmm. So I think this speaks to that. I think, you know, if you're going to think of reasons why people might come from as far away as, you know, Oz down under, right, Australia or around the country to come learn something about what we do, what a great opportunity. That actually leads to economic development opportunities.
It really does. And I mean, we have it in, you know, I'll maybe mention one program, which is KCCI.
Yeah,
I think that is an absolutely nationally unique innovation. And interestingly, one of the things that we've found, so the social scientists tell us that the way that you get people to like each other better, that you decrease polarization and demonization, is two conditions. One is the contact hypothesis. You have a positive interaction with them.
Yep.
Two is you have a common goal. And, you know, it's super easy right now to be thinking of common goals as needing to be like on national political issues. No, your common goal is a KCCI project that you do with a team of people who are very different than you. Heineken has a great ad on YouTube that is, it's called Worlds Apart, and they basically invite people who are completely opposite, and if they knew exactly who they were, they probably would hate each other in this day and age. They have them build a bar together, right? Yeah. Yeah. Just being beside people doing something good.
Shared experience.
And we do that in this community all the time.
Yeah. Now, I'm circling back a little bit, folks. You might have heard Liz earlier mention Robert Putnam. So that was one of my favorite reads when I was an undergrad, was his book called Bowling Alone.
Go, and Jay.
If you ever, not to get too wonkish here, we'll probably dive
that makes you Village right? Square royalty, pretty much.
I'm one of three people here. The book is a fascinating read. If you ever want to go dive into sort of the decay of America's social structures, it really is a great read. And you know, one of my other favorite writers is David McCullough,
yeah,
a historian. And one of the things that's consistent, he talks about this all the time, is the lack of civic education in our country. And if you think about, you know, what we have today as a national conversation, a lot of that really does return back to the fact that civic education has completely deteriorated, not just in our schools, but it's had an impact throughout our entire society.
I'm not sure how that happened, but I completely agree with you. And in fact, we had the opportunity to launch a national project last year called Respect and Rebellion, and it's a campus project, so it's kind of the Village Square on wheels.
That's cool.
And the way that it's structured is we have pairs of people who disagree completely with each other on politics, and yet maintain these wonderful, vibrant relationships where they're able to have the conversation respectfully, sometimes in deeply entertaining ways, and they come to campus as a pair, right? So that's the speaker event. It's not, you know, you don't go and protest that because you have both opinions there. And I think one of the things we found through, we had events on campuses as different as Brigham Young and Berkeley.
Hmm.
And our experience was exactly the same across the board, which was that really, you know, college students today don't get a whole lot of good role models on how you do this.
Yeah.
This is not their experience. And, you know, I think in some ways sort of my generation of people in civics, we've made this a binary choice. You know, you're either this or that. And they don't like that, and they shouldn't like it. But but as a result, they haven't seen anything but that binary offered, the angry fussing back and forth that they see on cable TV. So something as simple as just giving people the experience of, wait, they can talk to each other. they actually think they might be right about something or other, and they can disagree and still be friends.
Yeah, no, that's dead on. And you all have done a tremendous job of creating those kinds of environments on the local level, and really teeing up that opportunity here for people to come, sit down, have a meal, have a conversation, and just remember that we are neighbors. We do share a lot of commonality. And if you really think about it, there are a lot of things worth ganging up with everyone from all backgrounds together and going and trying to accomplish. And kudos to all that hard work. Tell us a little bit about the next couple programs and where people can go to find out more information.
So I would encourage people to visit tlh.villagesquare.us, where they'll find a good number of our programs for the year already up. Join us at the dinner series on October 1st. Those are sort of our big lead programs. But we've got something for everyone in the 20 to 25 events we'll do this year. All but those three dinners are free. And in fact, if finances are an obstacle to the dinners, we'll find a way to get you there if you're interested in coming. We will have an annual town hall that'll be, like our seventh. So that's become a community tradition. This spring we'll have the longest table. We're already planning next winter for a Created Equal event, which I think is like the fourth or fifth year we've done Created Equal with Leon County Government. So there's kind of something going on for everyone and every taste and every interest, and we'd love to meet you and get to know you, and we know we'll learn something from you, and we hope you'll learn something from us.
Well said. Liz, can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Thanks for all you're doing for our community, for our country.
Working on it.
That's it. Hey, it's always a work in progress. That's kind of the point, right?
That is.
But thanks again for being with us. Appreciate all you're doing. Village Square folks, great organization. If you've never been to a program, I can't encourage you enough to go out and give it a try. I think you'll really like what you find there. You'll find a lot of raucous energy in there, but
try to laugh a little,
right,
too.
A little bit of laugh and a little bit of crying, maybe. A little bit of
Yeah, some of that too these days,
just
right?
Just remembering that we're all human together, and we're all here trying to live out a pretty good existence, and there's a lot to celebrate about each other. Sometimes we can disagree, but disagree in style, right?
Excellent. And come nominate your that's right. We got to go printing now. And nominate your local patriot too, because we're going to be,
right?
Yes. Okay. And we're going to be elevating and talking about those neighbors of ours and honoring them this spring.
Outstanding. Well, folks, thanks as always for tuning in. We appreciate you listening. If you haven't had a chance, go and subscribe to the Chamber podcast. You can search TAL Chamber, TAL Chamber, in your favorite listening device app. And be sure to leave us a lovely review. We'd love to hear what you think, get your feedback. That means a lot to us. And again, tell your friends, feel free to share these episodes. As always, you can find this information and much, much more at our website, www.talchamber.com. That's talchamber.com. And don't forget to like us on all our favorite social media platforms, where you can catch up with everything that's happening in the greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce world. Signing off once again, we'll look forward to another great show very soon. Thanks for being with us.